time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Tuesday. First reported by NFL Network, and I'm sure you're hearing now, Aaron Rodgers is heading back to the Green Bay Packers. Per Ian Rappaport, it's 4 years, $200 million, $153 million guaranteed. Pat McAfee, though, Aaron Rodgers' good friend, says those numbers are not accurate. Either way, what all media types are agreeing on in the national reporters is that Aaron Rodgers is heading back to Green Bay. After a couple years of complaining, he weaseled and muscled his way into the exact contract that he wants, and you got to think Devontae Adams' franchise tag will follow.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think he's going to want to play on a team that doesn't have Devontae Adams, especially with all the whining he's done over the last couple of seasons about the lack of a supporting cast that he has had, even though the Packers have been the most successful team win-loss-wise in the NFL over the last 3 years, which is always a bit rich to me. If he had been willing to sit out games, this would have been really interesting. To me, Vanessa, I'm just, I guess, annoyed that this occupied as much time as it has over the last couple of seasons. I can understand why,
but
after Jordan Love.
But it's given us so much content.
I guess, Vanessa, but like ultimately when you realize it leads to nothing and you knew it was going to lead to nothing, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, something else that just popped up. I saw this on my Twitter feed. Kyler Murray has unarchived his Cardinals photos on his Instagram.
That
means
something. That means something.
They're okay. They had makeup sex. It was great. You know, maybe some flowers, some chocolate, a nice night at the hotel downtown, a spa day, something like that. They made up. It's funny. We beat to death all the quarterback drama every single offseason. And what actually happens? Nothing. Nothing. And Deshaun Watson screwed this all up because he actually might have been the first one to start quarterbacks having more power than organizations. And he might have sat out games because he didn't want to play for Jack Easterby. He didn't want to play for Cal McNair anymore. And instead, we're just going to continue to get these until some quarterback has as much confidence that he will get his way, that he will sit out games, forego paychecks, and just assume that they will get him on to another team. And I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. Someday, yes. Soon, no.
Hoping that, of course, Aaron Rodgers sits in with Pat McAfee, because Pat's the one that always gets him to really open up and at least be semi-honest about what's going on. And I want to hear who's right on the money. Is it Pat McAfee or Ian Rappaport on the exact dollar amount? And, of course, the clauses. You think that this isn't going to be 4 years. You think it'll be more like two.
No, because I just think you should look at the way that most contracts are structured across the NFL. You hear the four-year total money. But how many of these guys actually get the total money that they're supposed to get on their contracts? Very few. We're talking about a guy in his 40s, you know? I would imagine that if Aaron Rodgers plays well the next couple of seasons, that he will ask for more money, do this same old song and dance, and he will probably get it if he's playing at the level that he's playing at right now, where he's back-to-back MVPs, you know? He probably will end up getting it. But generally, these contracts are, I would say, 50%, 40% of what you think that they are. And I would assume it's some sort of two-year, $50 million deal, and Rodgers can do the exact same thing 2 years from now or just walk away from the game.
Packers players now reacting on Twitter. You have David Bakhtiari, whose wedding Aaron Rodgers officiated a couple of days ago, saying, "Look at you," at Aaron Rodgers. And then Alan Lazard laughing, sending out the laughing emojis. I have a feeling that some of these Green Bay Packers guys in the locker room either found out at that wedding 2 days ago and have kept it under wraps, or had a feeling that this was going to stay the way that it was.
Right. I don't think that Rodgers is as disconnected from his teammates as other quarterbacks might be. I think that he's not necessarily Tom Brady, who seems to find a way to really relate with every single player, even if they're could be his son. But
right.
Rodgers, I think, has shown that whatever we might think of him, with all of his enemas and cleanses and
vomiting, forced vomiting,
and hot takes on COVID and stuff. There are people in that locker room that do seem to like him. So, yeah, I bet you're right. I bet that there were conversations that he had with his inner circle, David Bakhtiari clearly being among them. I would imagine, too, that he probably told Devontae Adams that this is something that's going to happen, which means that, yeah, we could see Adams get the franchise tag later this afternoon. But there's also, I would imagine, a chance that there's a long-term deal for Devontae Adams very soon as opposed to us this being a dragged-out process.
And I think Devontae Adams has earned that. I get that, that they think of him as the Batman and Robin, and what would he be without a great quarterback, but he is the best wide receiver in the league. I mean, he is...
Statistically, yes.
Statistically, that's it. So he's earned that, and certainly I think it'll be interesting to see what develops there, and I do think we're going to know today one way or another because the franchise tag deadline is today. All right, meanwhile, Calvin Ridley suspended a full season by the NFL for gambling on games in 2021. He did this over that five-day stretch in November. If you remember, he took part of the season off, left on Halloween, saying he needed to get his personal life in order and that he had mental health issues. The NFL determined that Ridley placed some parlay bets involving 3, 5, and 8 games that included the Falcons to win. Important. Yeah. He bet on his team to win. And what essentially happened was the NFL's data partner, Genius Sports Group, saw suspicious activity on a phone they traced back to Ridley, and that investigation began in November.
He's an idiot for doing it on his phone and for doing it when the league goes out of its way to tell all of its employees that you can't gamble. In fact, if you're a league employee, you can't gamble on any sport. At all.
Oh, even like NBA?
No.
Wow.
If you're a player, you can. If you are a league employee, though, you cannot gamble on any sporting event outcome, which I find to be pretty preposterous considering that the league has 7 deals with...
with like FanDuel.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That is nuts. But they tell you over and over again, don't. Just don't. Don't. Don't do it. So I understand setting a precedent. There's so many gambling partnerships now. You don't want this to happen with players, especially with referees, with coaches, blah, 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 blah. But it was a parlay, and it involved him picking the Falcons, who stink. This is not that serious, you know? I feel like you could give him a 4-game suspension, an 8-game suspension, something like that, and make the exact point that you're trying to make here, where a full season for this, to me, this... I don't think it's that serious, worthy of that kind of a suspension. I get that there's precedent, but the precedent's from like the 1960s, Vanessa, with Paul Hornung and Alex Karras.
He could be reinstated in 2023, but he has to apply to be reinstated. That's why what he did yesterday was even sillier, which was tweet through it. Yeah. He tweeted through his feelings, tweeting first, I bet $1,500 total. I don't have a gambling problem. Next tweet. I couldn't even watch football at that point. I don't know what that means, but next tweet. Just gonna be more healthy when I come back. I know I was wrong, but I'm getting 1 year, LOL. And then if you know me, you know my character. Tweet through it, baby. Tweet through it, Cal.
This is a good question asked on our Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. While he is suspended, can he gamble on football? He would be a total dummy to do that. But, I mean, I would be kind of tempted. Like, technically, I'm not a league employee right now. But, I mean, this is something he did while bored. $1,500 for a couple of bets that were all parlays. I mean, you don't think any of them are actually going to strike gold. You know they're not going to strike gold. It's like the same as me, Vanessa. I did a prop bet. I don't generally gamble. I'm trying to gamble a little bit more. I don't really like doing it with college sports. But since I'm going to the Golden Nugget for the first round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Since I'm going there. I actually might gamble on some basketball games, even though I have no idea what the hell I'm doing as far as college basketball. Because I really only watch the Cougs. That's pretty much it.
Right.
And even then, you know, like they don't play in a lot of teams that I find to be particularly compelling. So I'm just like, I have it on the background. Am I watching it that seriously? No, not really. But in this situation, if you're if you're Calvin Ridley here, you got to find a way to, as you said, like, fix the things that you have done by acting like you don't really care. Because whether you do or don't care about being suspended this coming season, those tweets that you put out there read like someone who thinks this is kind of funny.
Well, and whether you think that it's fair or not, and I think that there are arguments that could be made. You had brought up, okay, well, what is the league going to do about Stephen Ross wanting Brian Flores to tank? What are they going to do about the fact that they haven't handled domestic violence cases with a year? And then you're going to, I mean, where are your priorities? There's a lot of nuance and gray areas in those conversations, but I do think it is one of those things to where he is so clearly an example for the fact that they are not going to screw around with NFL players gambling.
So they're fine with players potentially being involved in, they're not fine with players potentially being involved with the outcomes of games. Owners, then, what's up? What's going to happen?
Right.
Is Stephen Ross going to face anything for doing something that, in a world that now thinks gambling is okay, for doing something that directly affects outcomes of games or asking people to directly affect outcomes of games? I hope that something happens. I'm not asking for some sort of 1700s retribution like tarring and feathering or something like that. I mean, it wouldn't, you know.
You would like that, though, because you're messy.
Well, yeah, that is messy. It's pretty messed up, though. I don't know if you've... So I remember reading...
I don't like the medieval Game of Thrones, all that.
Well, this was, this was just like a Boston thing, back in the day in the 1700s, if you're a limey oppressor, and you taxed tea a little bit too much, next thing you might know, you might be getting like strewn up on a rope and having hot tar poured on your body and then having feathers thrown at you.
Sounds kinky.
Okay. Interesting development on the Vanessa Richardson front here. Should we continue to explore that?
Maybe that's the next segment deal.
Hey, tar me. Feather me, daddy.
Calvin Ridley can apply to be reinstated in February of 2023. A lot of mixed feelings on this. But I know one thing, which is players would be wise to do what a lot of people have tweeted they say they do anyway. Just gamble on like your cousin's phone or your mom's phone.
Yeah, get a burner.
Get a burner.
You know? What was season 1, 2, 3, 4 of The Wire for? What did it teach you anything if not to get a burner?
Great show.
Right.
Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. We're going to circle back on this. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network is the one who initially, one of the guys that kind of broke this story. Here's what he had to say about it. Do we have Mike Garofolo?
I'm being Omar.
Okay. You are? That's
middle.
A great.
Yeah. Or do you want to just talk about the Wire?
It was when Ridley was away from the team. Remember, he was on a leave because of what he termed mental health issues in the league. The team saying that as well. I have done some quick work on this one because this one just popped up this afternoon, even though the Falcons said they were aware of it for quite some time. And my understanding is that Ridley used his phone to bet on games, again, when he was away from the Falcons, to place parlay bets, which is bets on multiple teams. And the NFL was made aware of it, conducted an investigation, and through their gambling partners were able to corroborate the information. And remember, when the NFL did announce their gambling partnerships within the last couple of years, they did make the statement saying we will be able to work with our partners to make sure the integrity of the game is upheld.
The last part of that is super relevant to me, which is basically when they started having all of these deals with FanDuel, all of the different, I can't even think, DraftKings, whatnot, they told the players, hey, we're going to be able to track you, which is a little creepy, but we're going to be able to trace and track if you are gambling. And I don't know exactly how their data goes about doing that, whether it's they know their checking account numbers, credit card, whatever. I highly doubt they're actually like tracing every single thing on their phone.
It sounds like they saw the name, and Calvin right. Ridley is a distinct enough name. Say this was a Mike Smith or something like that, or a Joe Jones or something, then I don't know that this would pop up because there's so many people like that. But Calvin Ridley is a pretty distinct name, and he's a good enough player where I think a lot of people would be like, wait a second, isn't that the Atlanta Falcons wide receiver? Enough people play fantasy football where your name is going to be recognized. So what you should have done, Calvin Ridley, is go as like, I don't know, Ron Mexico or some other alias.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Westbrook
Omar Little
is big mad. Oh, R.I.P. Westbrook is big mad. Plus, we talk about the MLB and where they're at with the lockout. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Tuesday. Russell Westbrook not happy with some mean things that have been said to him. And here's the thing. I think when you're a professional athlete, you have to be ready for some of this. Now, I'm never going to condone death threats, harassment, especially of athletes' children. I think that's super strange. But one of the things that he's not happy about are the Westbrook chants.
Westbrook.
I mean.
Westbrook. He's a historically bad three-point shooter.
Right. Historically.
It's funny because not only is it true, it's very easy. You just have to change two letters, which is really awesome. It's harmless. It's fun. And he doesn't want it. And I saw in a piece that was done on ESPN by, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Dave McMenamin. Shout out to Syracuse University. What's up? You
know, oh, God, you're one of those
greatest universities ever. American history, except for the one time, sort of like overlooked, you know, some things in the basketball program. Anyway, the headline, Lakers Russell Westbrook speaks out about harassment. Family has been subject to vows to push back on Westbrook taunts. The family harassment, if it actually happened, bad. Bad fans. Bad Lakers fans. But in this article, Westbrook, for example, to me, is now shaming. It's shaming my name. My legacy for my kids. It's a name that means not just to me, but to my wife, to my mom, my dad, the ones that kind of paved the way for me. If there's something serious happening where there are death threats that are taking place, fine. But this to me is a proud person who's pissed off that he's being made fun of. And that honestly should be being made fun of because he's not playing particularly well. Sorry, I'm from the Northeast and that's how we roll.
Yeah, I mean, I think somebody said on the Twitch line, if your babies are ugly, you can't help but make fun of them. Leave kids alone. And
Unless it's a really ugly baby.
I actually, some babies are not cute.
Thank you.
At all.
That's all you needed to say.
No,
that's
some
all
babies
I was
are
hoping
not cute.
For. We're in lockstep, and they shouldn't be at movie theaters. It's fine.
No, bring your kids to movies.
Not a PG-13 movie that's 3 hours long.
I digress. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a gray area here because what his wife Nina was talking about on Twitter. I actually think she was talking about some really legitimate harassment that they've received.
I'm sure she got some,
but
too.
But then I think Russell Westbrook turned it around and got too, like, sensitive with it. Here's the audio from Russell Westbrook's press conference where he talks about the quote-unquote bullying.
I've been blessed, man, and super thankful for the ones around me and the ones that support me. But it's really the shaming of my name, the shaming of my character, the shaming of who I am as a person is, to me, is not warranted. I haven't done anything to anybody. I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't done anything but play basketball a way that people may not like. And this is just a game. This is just a game. This is not my entire life. And I think that is the ultimate thing that's been for me.
But those people are here to just watch the game. They don't care about your personal life. And I understand that maybe that's something that is bad, I guess. But they're there to watch you play basketball. And if they don't like the way that you're playing basketball, there's a reason you're getting paid a lot of money. And there's a reason they're paying a ton of money to go there. Because they want to be able to let their opinions be heard.
It takes a lot for me to feel sorry for wealthy people. It can happen. It can happen. If something bad happens to them or if they're experiencing health issues. I mean, but like things like this, it's just so cry me a river. Now, again, we are not speaking about death threats, but the Westbrook, the disrespect my name.
What a baby.
Give me a break.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. And it gets me to this point where, I mean, we've seen LeBron James kick multiple people out of courtside seats. And in the last situation, LeBron refused to go into detail about what was said. And a lot of people went online and they saw one person tweet, yeah, I was there and I heard everything that happened. And they were doing all this sleuthing. And with this terrible grainy video, they thought, oh, yeah, he's black just like the person in that avatar on Twitter, so he must have said this. And there are a lot of assumptions that are made. And generally, when players say things like this, they are believed. And I'm not saying to not believe them. I would like to believe that they're all telling the truth
here. Yeah, of course.
But in certain situations, I start to wonder if they're just having a bad day, they're pissed off, and like a lot of people, let's call them Karens, who maybe are yelling at somebody who is working in customer service, don't people, when they get into that spot, tend to hyperbolize, to embellish, to prove a point, to potentially get someone to see things their way through their lens, even if it's not actually what happened? So there's a part of me that with this West Brick chant that he's getting upset about, it does make me a little bit concerned about the possibility that down the road, there are going to be more things that people can be ejected from the stands for saying. And again, like if you're saying, like, die in a fire,
not acceptable.
That's bad. You shouldn't be doing that, even if you've had a couple of drinks and you're just joking. Come on. Right? Yeah. But at the same time, should we believe every single athlete when they are saying these things because they're trying to get people to see things the way that they do? And I don't necessarily believe that they're always telling the truth on that front.
There's no way they're all always telling the truth. That's for sure. All right. MLB lockout. We don't have a lot of news today. But what we do have is what we've seen throughout this entire process with the lockout, which is, remember last week, Paul, if there's not a deal done by this date, there is no way we play a full season. And now, all of a sudden, MLB says they'll cancel another week of games if a deal isn't reached today. But if they can get it done today, that deadline for 162 games has all of a sudden been extended, full pay and full service time.
It's so damn confusing.
It is.
Are you lost?
Well, the rules are being made up as simple as this. The rules are being made up as they go along.
Right. And actual rules are being potentially introduced as they go along, too. Like bigger bases. So that I guess the old folks who watch the games can see the bases a little bit better on their old television sets in their backyard by their chimenea.
It's the things that, like, the shift, like the things that we knew maybe were of semi-importance. Those things are fine. And the luxury tax they can't agree on.
Right. The luxury tax thing is the big holdup. And owners, you can cry all you want about competitive balance and stuff. But look, what you've seen over the last decade plus has been interest in the sport wane. And it's because you know why it's happening? You know what's good for baseball is to be talked about in the offseason.
Right.
And you know when baseball gets talked about in the offseason? When massive deals happen, when guys go from one team to the next. That's why the NBA offseason is the best offseason that there is, only followed by the NFL's offseason, because you see crazy stuff happen. In baseball, you used to see that. I remember where I was when I found out about the Alex Rodriguez trade to the New York Yankees, because I think moments before, everyone thought he was going to go to the Boston Red Sox. And then the Manny Ramirez trade happened to the Red Sox. Like, there are a lot of things that take place over the course of an offseason in baseball that could get it back to the level that it used to be. And if you remove the luxury tax threshold, yeah, the best teams, they're going to be the ones winning all the time. But that's where we're at already.
Right.
Right now, who are the teams that you actually take seriously as having a chance to win the World Series? No one buys into the A's, the Augusters, those frauds. No, it's in the American League every year, it's the Red Sox, it's the Astros, and it's the Yankees. And in the National League, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. It is generally some team that's from the East Coast. It's been Washington sometimes. Maybe it's the New York Mets in the near future. The teams that have money are always the teams that win. The luxury tax threshold is not making things uncompetitive for the teams at the bottom, because those teams are poor and they aren't spending money as it is anyway.
Yankees team president Randy Levine was on the Michael Kay show and said, quote, "I'm very afraid of the whole season being canceled. I hope not. But if we continue with where we are, it could. That's what scares me and it keeps me up at night."
Do you
All
believe
right,
him?
Something that shouldn't keep you up at night, your home insurance. If you own your home, you need to listen up and grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance. It's a hassle, but it doesn't have to be, thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds, and you don't have to use anything except a single text message, and you'll probably save a bunch of money. So Get your phone out. Text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. The system will ask for your address. Send that address, and within 15 seconds, you'll have quotes. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year saved over $870 on home insurance. I know you don't like to shop for home insurance. None of us do. It's obnoxious. But you can do this. Text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today. We'll be right back.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. We are the appropriately named Vanessa and Gallant Show. You can see us on Twitch. Hi, guys.
Yo.
Or you can stream us on the ESPN app. Or you can listen to us on good old-fashioned 92.5 or 97.5. If you live under a rock and you haven't heard by now, or maybe you just have actually been working because you have a real job, Aaron Rodgers returning to the Green Bay Packers. That is per Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero, Pat McAfee, all of the media folks. And, yeah, so big news. $200 million, 4 years, $153 guaranteed.
Woo! Yeah, and look, it's probably just a two-year contract. It's probably one of those ones where he will have the exact same flexibility a couple of years from now. We could be having the exact same conversation again.
Yeah, I know, which you loved, right? Yeah, Paul got annoyed. Joining us now on the hotline is former Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels. He played for the Texans from 2006 to 2008, and I just spent some time with him in Indianapolis, and we had a lot of fun. Sage, how are you?
Yeah, Indianapolis is, for me, I think it's like my favorite couple of days the entire year of the football season, at least from a meeting people, old friends, coaches I played for, trainers I knew back in the day, the various teams I played for, because I was like the sort of journeyman quarterback. And then like the random media people that I've gotten to know over the years, and occasionally a new person. So, Mike Silver is a common friend, and Mike and I always go out to dinner, and he always invites random people. I invited a buddy that was one of a teammate, David Anderson, who is a former Texan. And then, another night it was a guy, Pete Samuel, who I've known for years, who works for ESPN, and it was like the Tulane athletic director. a couple coaches out of jobs, a couple coaches that are in there, an agent, a financial advisor. It's the most random a mix of people that you see at the combine every year.
Well, it's so random, yeah, because I was going to dinner with Mike, and Mike's like, well, I'll get a reservation for four instead of just you and I. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And you never know with him, right? So I see you and David Anderson walk in, and I'm like, these are literally former Texans players. But it was great to meet you, great to share a couple shrimp cocktails. And, what'd you see from the combine this year that you liked? Who stood out to you? I know this isn't a quarterback-heavy class, but were there any storylines or narratives that kind of stood out to you?
Storylines from the combine. Well, as far as quarterbacks, from what I heard, is that the couple coaches I talked to, they were not, seeing the quarterback of the future, in their franchises, in this draft. They're just not seeing, wow, that guy is definitely going to be a great player. But you just never know. Every year it's a total random mix, and you're going to have hits, you're going to have misses, you're going to have scouts say he's a sure thing, and he's surely out of the NFL in 2 or 3 years and playing in a different league or something. I mean, it is wild. And then you have a sixth rounder sometimes who ends up being, a really good player, or a third rounder like Davis Mills, who I think is a quality NFL quarterback for a rookie. I thought he played pretty well. So it's just sort of interesting how it all pans out. And I don't, sort of put too much into these workouts and how fast guys are and this, that, and the other. You go off the tape. And I think for this is sort of the beginning of that process. This is where the coaches do those interviews and really get to know. Because you can have a player who's fantastic, but you meet him right off the bat in this interview, and it's going to be like, I don't want this guy in my team. So it's, I really would like to have this guy in my team. And then you really dive into all the film. So it's sort of too early, but the combine, I guess, is just a start to the whole process.
Sage Rosenfels with us. Definitely a vibe that the quarterbacks in this year's draft class aren't the sexiest prospects. They could all shock us. We also find out today Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. Before we get to that, I'm sure you're talking with tons of people out there. I don't know how many decision makers maybe you were able to hear from, but What is the vibe that you're getting as far as an interest level in Deshaun Watson and potentially trading for him? Because you would think with Rodgers not going anywhere and with not a lot of great quarterbacks that his demand, even with these things on the side, this league sells its soul. They don't really care, seemingly, very often. There seems like there would be some teams desperate enough for a guy that when he was last playing was playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the game.
I think that there's going to be or however the situation pans out, a really big market for Deshaun Watson. And I think there's going to be a lot of teams who see him as a top five talented quarterback who was doing a lot with a little, when he was playing for the Texans. And will be sort of available. And those don't come around very often. I mean, he physically and the plays that he made for a number of years teams are looking for that. But he changes an entire football team to be much better. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams would be willing to try to get him on the roster for how much and for when and how the situation all pans out. I think a lot of teams would love to upgrade with him as their quarterback.
You mentioned Davis Mills and that you were impressed by Davis Mills. What did you see from that rookie quarterback that you liked?
Well, I think for the most part, he had pretty good composure, and I felt like he hit guys that were open. And I think, you know, the young quarterback, it's a confusing and complex game. And I thought that, you know, if your guy can go out there and get completions and sort of do your job and try to make the throws there, that's pretty good for a young guy. I just felt like it wasn't a disaster out there. And I saw disasters in Chicago. I saw disasters other places of the Jets. It wasn't bad football, and I'm always so impressed when a young quarterback can go out there and just execute. It doesn't mean that his ceiling's going to be the next Joe Montana,
right?
But I do think it's like a guy who can, you know, he's got an entire offseason now to, you know, learn. He has new coaching, he has new this, new that, but to go back and watch all those plays and work on new things, work on timing, work on protections, work on understanding the front, and this is where you start to get more and more knowledge of the game. So then I think this is the type of guy you could open up sort of the offense and give him some responsibilities. I think he's one of those guys that will be able to identify defenses and have an offense that can sort of take advantage of that. So I thought sort of so far so good for a third rounder. You don't know what his upside is, but I don't see him like a failure that you lot. I mean, the Vikings drafted a second rounder last year. I don't think Kellen Mond's going to play at all, maybe ever, right? Yeah. I mean, so... I do think Houston found a pretty good one in the third round. Pretty good value, I should say.
All this Aaron Rodgers drama, at least for now, seems to have come to an end, Sage. Do you get annoyed when you see all of the drama that surfaces on NFL online media when it comes to Russell Wilson not happy, Kyler Murray deleted all of his Instagram photos with the Cardinals? As an ex-quarterback, do you see these guys who are all in pretty good situations and wonder, like, hey, man, it's not that easy for every single quarterback. How about you shut it?
Well, it's an odd world out there, and everyone is different, and everyone's trying to get what they're trying to get, and the NFL is the greatest soap opera. My mom said to me when I was playing, because, you know, the parents of these players, there's just so much going on. There's always Dallas stuff. There's always this. There's always that. There's billionaire owners, millionaire players, great athletes, great games, 32 teams, you know, 30 the country's biggest cities. And it is a nonstop soap opera. It is. And there's always something. That's why people, you know, that's why the combine or the Super Bowl for the media and all that, that's why it's so fun, because it's a never-ending amount of storylines that the NFL is an interesting sport. You know, almost the entire year, there's always something going on.
Do you roll your eyes at it, though? I mean, I feel like I would after a certain point. It seems like that same thing every single offseason.
You there, Sage? I think we might have lost Sage Rosenfels.
Oh, I'm sorry. I may have lost you.
Yeah, are you there? Hey, I was going to ask you, what are your thoughts on Calvin Ridley? I mean, I'm sure you saw that he was suspended a whole season for gambling. Just as a former player, I know that it's like, Paul and I talked about how it's like hammered in you guys' heads not to gamble. But at the same time, there's kind of the gray area here where you have all of these new deals with FanDuel and DraftKings. And is a year too harsh when they haven't even suspended Stephen Ross for apparently tanking? There's a lot of different angles, and I think it's a nuanced conversation. What are your thoughts on that?
One, it's a stupid deal that he gambled on some games and some sort of parlay. I don't know all the details, of course, but some sort of parlay or something. To me, it's sort of, even if he gambled on his own team, I'm sort of like, well, if you, your gamble was for you to win, I don't really care. You're betting on yourself, type of thing. And you know, and I just sort of think that the stuff that the billionaires get away with, and that how they're making money off of all this gambling, from fantasy football type stuff to now straight up gambling, and all the things that have occurred with the owners around the league in recent years, including possibly trying to get coach to lose games, like actually
Stephen
trying
Ross.
To get. Like, Calvin really wasn't trying to get the Falcons to lose games, right? And, like, but this is sort of brushed over as well. Billionaires get to do something else. So in that giant soap opera, you see the difference between the way billionaires are traded and the way millionaires are traded. I said, I think it was a stupid idea by Calvin really to do that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think players shouldn't do it. I think a couple games, like, no one wants to get fined a couple games for a stupid $1,500 bet. So a whole season is way over the top for something that has not really happened very much in the history of sports, and here it happens in a really small amount, and for that big a fine is completely ridiculous. And I appreciate the integrity of the game and all those things, but you know, the integrity of the game of when a billionaire wants his team to lose, that is, you know, that's a 10,000 times more a bad infraction to me.
Right. He should be suspended for betting on the Falcons, who are terrible, and not for betting on football, I feel like. And you're right about the Stephen Ross side of it, or owners. I really wonder if they ever will truly punish an owner for doing something that embarrasses the league. Because we have not really seen that with Daniel Snyder. There's something going on with the Dallas Cowboys that seems to be being brushed aside. Robert Kraft had his thing happen not too long ago
as
well.
That we haven't really heard about since.
No. So it is interesting. The punishment is so harsh in this situation. If this is a harsh punishment for Calvin Ridley, I do think, Sage, that we should be seeing something for Stephen Ross along the same lines.
Yeah, and all these owners, some sort of suspense. I mean, the Daniel Snyder stuff is horrifying. As you know, for me, a father, I have two daughters, and imagine if they like worked for Washington. You know, I played there, so imagine if somehow one through my connections, I got them a job in some way working there, and I didn't realize that for, you know, a decade they were treated a certain way. There's a certain environment in Washington that sounds just horrifying if you were a woman, and or in there too that didn't know what to do about it. I mean, it seems like there was a terrible situation. All covered up, all, you know, internal investigation, blah, 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 slap, you know, Dan, step away for a second and go play golf or something and come back. I mean, the whole thing is, yeah, I mean, it's not even close how different, I mean, how the whole situations are being treated. And I think it's too bad. I'm one of those. I think Daniel Snyder should not own an NFL team. I don't. I think he should, like, it's you know, a privilege. I get businesses, it's different in capitalism, but I do think in this country, it's such an important thing to our culture, to our cities, to our fan bases, sort of part of who we are, that those are coveted positions. Those owners, those are, you wield great power in those positions and influence over a lot of people. And to have somebody really be right at the heart of an absolutely disgusting culture, I think shouldn't be one of those, you know, 32 owners or 31 owners in the Packers.
Former Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels joining us. I leave you with one question. How would you describe the state of the Texans? And I guess the follow-up would be, what can they do to get things back on track?
Well, I mean, obviously the hire was interesting and the timing and all those things. I will say, I mean, I Love did a pretty good job in Chicago. And, you know, they were sort of this consistent football team. They had some really premier players, of course, on the defensive side of the ball. In particular, you know, they had a decent offense. They didn't have a great quarterback with Rex Grossman, but they won a lot of football games over there. You know, a lot of 8-win, 10-win seasons, some playoffs, and, you know, a couple of really good seasons. And so I do think he's a good hire. I do think he's a good hire. They need somebody that can right that ship and just be like a consistent person. And I think a lot of people, you know, around the league for years, see Lovie Smith as a, you know, sort of upstanding coach, upstanding guy, who, if he gets the right players, can have a good defense. You have a good defense, you have a chance to win. So, you know, they're starting over in a lot of ways, you know, in that city. I think everyone's intrigued of how all their moves go, but, you know, I did not dislike that hire at all. And, I think Lovie can, you know, be that separate, whether it's a transition to something in the future, I don't know, but they've got a lot of holes on that football team, and hopefully Lovie, who's been and seen a lot of things, can find a way to plug those holes and get that football team back to respectability.
Thank you so much for your time. That's former Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels. You can find him on the Twitter at SageRosenfels18. Really appreciate your time, and great seeing you in Indy.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Tuesday. That's next.
97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Huge thank you to former Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels for joining us just a few minutes ago. We'll, of course, have that video online later, and you can hear it on Twitter and on our podcast. He was awesome. Great perspective from him on a lot of different things.
Good stuff. I'm really curious as to how all the old Texans, totally unfiltered, feel about the state of things right now. Because, you know, they all know people in the industry, and they know people who probably still work for the organization. So you're going to do it in a way, too, where you're tactful. But I really want to know what everybody thinks.
Sage Rosenfels is the one that went on Mike Silver's podcast and told the story of Cal McNair watching video games in his office.
Well, I mean, nothing wrong with watching some video games,
or
you know?
Playing video games, excuse me.
Oh, he was playing.
Playing,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, well, maybe he was watching Doctor Doom or some Twitch star or something like that.
Yeah. We have a little source off going on.
Source off?
On Twitter. Aaron Rodgers, of course, returning to Green Bay, says Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, all the big dogs. But Pat McAfee says the dollar number isn't correct. Ian Rappaport reporting $200 milli for 4 years, $153 guaranteed. Pat McAfee, who, of course, is very, very close with Aaron Rodgers, says that is not the case. A little sore soft going on.
$153 guaranteed seems like a stretch. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
That would assume that he would be there for 3 of the 4 years of the contract. And I don't know. I'm just not 100% buying into that idea. 2 years I can see. 3, no. So from that perspective, that's interesting. Also, I think I saw, and this was an expected report, but the Packers are indeed, and this was a per Sports Illustrated article, expected to give Devontae Adams the franchise tag.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. I mean, everything is all resolved, and the Green Bay Packers are now at a spot where they don't have to deal with this for an offseason. Yay!
You know when your parents would parents give you that look where they're like, was it worth it when you make a bad decision? I feel like there are a lot of people online right now that are saying to Aaron Rodgers, was it worth all the drama? Now, maybe if he's in his bag and he got what he wanted,
perhaps
you could argue yes.
For quite literally, yes, it was worth it. It is nice to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL when you are that old. That is for sure. To get paid at a level that Patrick Mahomes is not actually getting paid at least on an annual basis. And I understand why. Back-to-back MVP seasons after a 2019 season where he did not play particularly well and then got upset because the Packers decided to draft Jordan Love, even though, again, he had played pretty poorly down the stretch of that season.
You know, when I knew Aaron Rodgers was probably returning to the Packers was a couple of weeks ago at the Super Bowl at NFL Honors. He went from, like, disgruntled, not liking Green Bay, all of this stuff, to in his MVP speech, thanking Matt LaFleur, thanking Brian Gutekunst, thanking, you know, all of those guys. And then he went on Pat McAfee and said that the communication had been so much better among him in the front office. That, to me, when his tone changed, indicated that he was starting to chat with them.
And then he went on a retreat into the wilderness.
And pooped.
Yes.
He did a lot of pooping.
There's an enema involved. A lot of puking.
A lot of pooping.
As well. Was there peyote involved? We don't know. We can't say. But he looked deep into the stars and saw that his destiny was to get $50 million a year. You know? And
it's
I
not
mean,
a bad destiny.
I love that destiny. It took me going into the wilderness and having a vision from the Great Spirit to see that.
Brittany Griner. Oh. Have you been following this?
I have. So Brittany Griner is, for those who don't remember,
locked up.
Great Baylor basketball player. Think on the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA, seven-time WNBA All-Star. She also plays in Russia. Russia women's basketball pays like three times the salary of the NBA. So she was flying 3 weeks ago from New York to Moscow, and they found a weed cartridge in her bag. So she's just been in custody for three straight weeks. And I know a lot of people are going to look at Brittany Griner and say, like, oh, you idiot. You shouldn't have been taking weed into Russia, blah, 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 blah. I did not know that they had the ability to find the cartridges. I didn't know that.
I also, the weirdest thing is that we didn't hear about this. Like, her wife didn't post about this until, like, 3 days ago.
Well, do you really want to post something like this? Like, hey, my wife is arrested in Russia for smoking weed. It is, I imagine, and it's not only is it concerning, she might be facing up to 10 years in Russian jail, but also, I mean, this is one of those things where Brittany Griner, who doesn't exactly have the best track record, would probably be dragged for this. Just a wild guess. And I would say, like, specifically back to her time, like, she's kind of a dirty player when she was playing at Baylor, just a little bit.
Yeah, but I like that. That's how the guys play.
I guess.
Do it, BG. Meanwhile, Austin tried to have a crawfish festival, and
it was
not a success. You're more of the Austin connoisseur.
I guess.
So I'll let you have this one.
So Austin had a fire fest. I don't know how many people have gone to a crawfish festival, but in Austin, they have this thing, and they've been doing it, I guess, for a couple years. It's the Austin Crawfish Festival, but they didn't do it the last 2 years because of the old pandemic. Anyway, there were long lines. There were parking issues. The payment system was down because a generator ran out of gas. Alcohol prices were changed during the event. They asked for exact change at the bar. And at some point, things got so bad, there wasn't any crawfish. So people were going to Facebook and asking, do you have 2,000 pounds of crawfish this morning? Thank you. So I guess this was just the biggest disaster of a crawfish festival that you could ever possibly have.
It's basically like Firefest for crawfish.
Yeah. And while we're on Austin, Hear this story? Hear about this? Heard about this?
Huh? You haven't said it yet. So well,
the story? Have you heard it? I'm being a terrible Jay Leno. Who is terrible? The general manager of a Northwest Austin movie theater.
Okay.
So people were watching The Batman, and a real-life bat was released into the studio.
What?
Into the theater. Yes.
On purpose?
They're not sure, but the person who owns this Northwest Austin movie theater believes yes. During a Friday viewing, one of the moviegoers said the film had to be paused when staff realized there was a real live bat flying around the theater. Video shows the incident. The viewer says management paused the movie and made multiple attempts to get the bat out, but those attempts were ultimately unsuccessful, so they just kept watching the movie. I mean,
yeah,
I'd rather watch a movie with a bat than with a baby.
You are so messed up. At some point, you're just going to have to go with it. Like, at some point, you realize the bat is not leaving this movie theater and that you have to go with it. But you'd rather watch a movie with a bat than a baby.
I don't want the baby crying. Sorry, it's ruining the movie.
I do agree that once the baby starts crying, you should remove the baby from movie.
Just don't bring a baby. Get a babysitter.
Some people can't do that.
Well, then don't go to the movie. Sucks to be you.
Oh, you're going to be a terrible parent.
Why am I going to be a terrible parent? Because I'm not going to take my kids to go see a PG-13 3-hour movie.
I will say my parents never would have done that, to your point.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, you can go to another movie if you're a baby. You can go watch, like, The Croods or some other terrible kids movie that I will never, ever, hopefully ever have to watch. Or watch Frozen 130 times at your
Frozen's
house.
Good, though.
No, Elsa's a terrible person. People forget. Anna? Cool. Elsa was a terrible person. She killed her sister. Accidentally, it's fine. Oh, no manslaughter charges.
Thanks
what the hell?
To Sage Rosenfels for joining us. Coming up next, super Green Bay fan Joel Blank talks about Aaron Rodgers with Jeremy Branham on the Killer Bees, and you better bet he's excited. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.